The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Bernard O'Shea is with me though because he is currently on tour with his new show Desperate House Husband. Bernard, how are you?
Good, thanks for having me in.
Yeah, no, listen, thanks for coming in. Desperate House Husband, this is a self-description, is it?
Yes, self-titled laziness. So I had the title as a placeholder and then I said I'll change that. And then I never got around to changing it.
Okay. Yeah. What's desperate about your house husbandry?
I suppose, like a lot of people, I suppose, like, you know, you're at home and I don't... Do you know people like kind of self-improve themselves or, you know, they learn from their past failures and they become strong? I wouldn't be one of those now.
No, okay.
Yeah,
all right,
I wouldn't be one of those. Yeah, yeah.
You build on those failures.
No, I don't. No. It's just a continual... type of malaise. So I kind of said, well, like, you know, I was thinking of Desperate Housewives, the programme. So that's where I just went, Desperate House Husbands. I said, oh, I kind of... And plus, for the last 3 or 4 years, all I'm doing is putting chicken dippers in an air fryer and collecting kids. And, you know, like, if you want to come to a show that's about the world and politics and be spoken to about politics, or if you want to come to a clever person that will give you a... Don't come to this one, right?
Oh, right, okay.
But if you want to just laugh and kind of go, okay, well, fair enough. Like, you know, because my life... I really only write about what's happening to me.
Yeah.
And that was being at home with kids and seeing them from the kind of toddler phase through to the kind of into the schools and stuff like that. It's what's in front of me. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Managers years ago, lads, go out and play what's in front of you. Like, that's all I can do. Yeah.
And this was born of COVID, the house husbandry, was it?
Yeah. So during, as COVID started, God, it feels like it never happened.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing. I was doing two programs, one with Marty and one on my own. And then the second one when I started was the day, was roughly near the day where the country was told, right, go home.
Wow.
And it was like, and it was a great producer. How she got it made, I don't know. But we got it made, but it took nearly a year and a half. And then after that, it was like everything stopped. Like everything stopped. And I was like, Jesus, what am I going to do here? And I did courses online and stuff like that. So I literally...
What types of courses did you do?
I did a digital marketing course. Like, but then loads of my friends were doing stuff. But after that, I got a job fairly quickly. And I went, oh God, this is nice. Do you know what I mean? You just show up. You could have a bad day and they still pay you at the end of the month.
Yeah. What job were you doing?
I was just doing digital marketing, like content. I was just writing content and making content plans. And, you know, a business comes in, whatever it is, and you go, okay, this is what I think your content could be. And just, now that is all gone. Because of ChatGPT, I've just literally taken out an entire workforce overnight, right? But that's what I did, and I just kind of went, "Oh my God, is this what people do? They get paid, and everything was always a gig. Radio was always a gig. Either they're going to shoot you, or you're going to shoot them. That's it, right? Mm. So it's like you know it's not forever. So it was always one job to the other, and was like, oh my God, this is lovely. But then you kind of get kind of. I was like, I am enjoying this. I'm not enjoying. I needed the break away from radio and telly and stand. I just needed a break, a selfish one, because, you know, you have mortgages, you have bills and stuff like that. But it was nice to get away for it for a while.
And did you come to appreciate maybe how much pressure you felt under before?
Both. I felt the pressure, like, the one thing about entertainment is that no one tells you, you have to be very good at being self-employed.
Yeah.
You have to be a good sole trader. I should be on a business show now. Jesus Christ, what's the comedy? But, like, you know, you have to be good at... Otherwise, you're not going to survive. You could be brilliant, but if you don't... If you're not... Like, for me, it was always that fear of, Jesus, what's next?
Yeah.
Because you've bills. You kind of go... And you've no job. You've no boss. So unless you do something about it, nobody else does. So it was nice to get away from that. But the biggest thing it gave me was that I've been doing stand-up music, telly, radio, whatever, since I've been 18. Since, you know... And... You don't think of the audience in terms of their lives, their work. Do you know what I mean? Someone says, oh, I work in News Talk. You just have a better appreciation going. If he doesn't finish in the next 10, 15 minutes, we have a babysitter at home. We have to pay her the extra hour, blah, blah, blah. You know,
that
it gave me more of a perspective of the pressure that somebody goes through in a 9-to-5 and the expectancy of what they have on you, which is, listen, just... We're here now. Make me laugh for 50 minutes. You know, dance, monkey dance in the nicest possible way. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that dread then of what's coming next, that caused you pre-COVID to to ever to take on too much at once.
Oh, well, yeah, definitely. Like, if I had one regret, and myself and Jennifer Zamperley, we made Bridget Naaman together, and we did Republic of Telly and we did radio. I think I can't speak for her now, but if I, but I'm pretty sure we were from the same hymn sheet. We took on way too much work. Like, so, like, from, say, 2014 to 2018, we would go in to do breakfast, leave at 10, you have a half an hour to yourself, that's generally travel, then you're on a set till 8. So it's like, and yeah,
that long.
And then you do Dance with the Stars, and then you're writing books because you think, oh, I'll take it now because this can all disappear.
Yes, as in you have to say yes to everything.
And by the way, she had children as well.
Yeah.
So it was like, what an achievement that is, whatever. Like, you know, so yeah, take it all now because you might never see it again. Whereas looking back in hindsight, it says, no, why? Of course we should have just went, you know what? We'll take, this next series doesn't have to be made right now. We can wait 3 months.
Yeah.
If they really wanted that badly, they can wait for it. You know, so like there's a bit of that. But like, again, like, you know, it would be great if you had the power of hindsight. Just a little machine.
Yeah, but is it true? Is there not a period though where you just accept you do have to do that? Even though maybe looking back in hindsight, you realise now you could have got away without it. I mean, let me put it this way. If you were talking to a younger version of yourself or someone getting into it, and they said, oh, you know what I mean? I'm just saying yes to everything. Yeah. Would you tell them, no, it's actually learn to say no to
but I wouldn't
things.
Listen to them.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry, me in the past or the future is not going to listen to anyone.
Yeah, okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just, it is what it is. Like, you know, and I love that idea of it, but like, nah, it's not going to. But look, don't get me wrong. I'm so grateful we did Bridget Naaman, Republic of Telly. I am the luckiest comedian that's ever come out, ever born in this country. To do all those things, to do the radio things, like, I mean, I've been poxed.
And was there, did you appreciate that at the time? Say when Republic of Telly was going really well, did you realise, oh, this is great?
100% I did, yeah. Because I was doing, I've been doing
stand-up. But at least
stand-up.
There's that.
Yeah, because I've been playing music with my dad since about 12 or 13.
Yeah.
So I was in pubs and halls and stuff like that till I went to college. And then I went to college, I was playing music. And I was working in bars and I was playing music up till, and then I was doing stand-up till I was like 28. So I started when I was 20. So like, you're in pubs, you're in clubs, you're in, you know, so by the time Republic Telly came around, I was 27, 28, you know, and I was working in radio, breakfast radio as well. So it was like, I knew, Jesus, I am lucky to be here because I had so many friends that were better than me that weren't getting those opportunities.
Yeah.
So like you absolutely go, I'm so happy to be here.
But now, having gone through all that, if you were to be offered 3 or 4 gigs at once now.
Yeah.
Would you say
absolutely
no?
Yes. Find a way of minding them kids. 100%. No.
They'll mind themselves at this stage, Bernard.
No, but I tell you, like, Kieran, you know yourselves, so everybody say in radio, because like, I'm always asked, would you go into radio? It's like, no, it's not like radio stations don't come to you and go, hey, unless, well, they do to a certain percentage of people. They're not going to come to you and say, hey, we'd love you to do this, this, and you have to go graft and knock on doors and present and go, whatever, you know, so, and I haven't done that. And the same with television. I haven't gone near a commissioner's door in 6-7 years.
Yeah.
And it's not that I'm not bothered. It's just that I know the work isn't in presenting. The work isn't in writing the thing.
Yeah.
The work is in getting the money to make it in the first place. You know, so, and that's something that I'd be kind of reluctant to kind of go through again because so much of the creative energy is gone because you're just waiting on a decision.
Yeah. When Bridget Naaman, what year was it when that wrapped up?
2018.
Now, what year was it in Bridget and Naaman universe?
Oh, well, here you go. So one thing we built into it, and I know people will say it's a one-trick pony, but we spent an awful lot of time layering that show, right? To make it feel like there's no time, right? So really, it could have been the 80s, it could have been the 1880s, right?
Mm.
We made it so that it was timeless, and we had the Seinfeld thing of no hugs, no learning. So you're not going to learn anything from it. Right,
yeah.
Like it's like people die, or like you know, people kill. People are killed in the show, and people get away with it and go, "Ah, sure, he grand." Do you know what I mean? Like you know, so we layered stuff into it. We also parodied lots of American old Network 2 buy-ins and stuff like that, which does give it an 80s type feel. But we layered it, right? So it is the 80s still, and we go back into the 70s in the show sometimes as well, right? One of the ideas we had at the time was to go to see what they would be like if they had money at the start of the 90s in the boom. That was one thing we always would have kind of...
Or the noughties.
The noughties, yeah. Well, I suppose the late 90s maybe.
Yeah.
Just to see what it would have been like for them to have money.
Yeah.
Like, you know, what were their character... Would they be the same? Would they end up penniless, like, you know, because I know Eamon would have loved the idea of just stop trying to be, you know, clever about lending, just give us the money,
yeah.
You know, like, you know, so yeah. It'd be like, but yeah, so we don't know when it's finished, but I think maybe like the idea of it as a film we looked at, as a musical we actually were approaching, we looked at, but I think the idea maybe of certainly myself and Jen coming together to make another one of it is possibly not really going to happen. But I think Bridget Nieman could live on elsewhere, either in remakes or other countries making it, you know. So
yeah.
That's definitely a possibility. Yeah.
Okay. A Bridget and Eamon universe.
Yes. Like yeah. Yeah.
Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Okay. Well, listen, if people want to find out more about the show, the stand up tour, Desperate House Husband.
Some gags. Jesus. Please.
Quickly tell two or three jokes there.
Can I be very Irish? So you're not Cuddy, you're Cuddihy.
Yeah.
So where are you from then? Are you from Laois?
No. Weird. Sorry, there are some Cuddihys in Laois, but you know, but there's Cuddihys in Laois. Kilkenny.
It's the city.
Yeah, from town, yeah.
From the town.
Yeah, exactly, well, yeah. Why?
The famous Kilkenny joke.
Okay, go on.
Where when they were taking the city status, they had a massive meeting in the town hall.
Oh, that's
but don't you, it gets better than that. It gets yeah. better than that.
He opens with that joke,
yeah,
don't worry.
Don't open with that. Don't open with that.
BernardOshea.ie.
Yes, I'm all over the place. And this is the last leg of it.
Perfect.
So I wish I could go back in time and do the final show when I did the first bit in Bray and Sligo that weekend, because it's changed a lot. So come see it again.
Come and see it again. BernardOshea.ie. Bernard, thanks a million.
Thank you.
I should say as well, when you go to the website, you'll see all the upcoming dates, and I think it's a Cork, Dungarvan, Kerr, Leap, Mullingar, Bray. It's loads of places around the country. So BernardOshea.ie.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.